This morning I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes about being thankful or having gratitude. And this morning already, Chris has very kindly read the first part of Luke chapter 7. And I'm just going to reread a tiny bit of that to refresh our memory here, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give him praise to God except their foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There are many things in this particular passage that we could talk about, but the one I particularly like to look at is the idea of thankfulness here, because there were 10 lepers. And 10 lepers were cleansed. 10 lepers were cured of their terrible disease, which we'll talk about a bit more in just a moment. But yet, only one of them went to the effort of returning and being thankful. And so we see that being thankful is somewhat unusual. Being thankful is something that we may have to work at in some cases. Because here, only one of the 10 was thankful enough to return to Jesus and thank him. Leprosy is a terrible disease, as I think we're all aware. It was particularly a terrible disease in the ancient world. And those who caught the disease became outcasts. We now know that the disease is caused by bacteria. And since it's bacteria that can be controlled or eliminated with antibiotics. So leprosy today is not nearly the problem that it was in the ancient world. Back in the ancient world is a much, much more serious problem in first century Judah, where Jesus was preaching. What leprosy does, we know now, is it kills nerve cells. And when people lose their nerve cells, they can no longer feel pain. And so they unintentionally injure themselves over and over and over again, because they do not feel any pain to prevent them from doing this. And these repeated injuries cause them to lose fingers and toes and hands and feet, sometimes their eyesight or even their lives. The first person, or one of the first people, to determine that this repeated injury because of the lack of being able to sense pain was a man named Paul Brand, who spent his life treating lepers. The first time he saw someone with leprosy was when he was a 7-year-old boy living in South Asia in 1921. His father was a missionary who tried to respond as best he could to every human need. And one day, when he was 7 years old, 3 men approached his parents' home. Many people came for medical treatment to this man because he was trained in medicine also. And one of these men who came to him, one of these 3 men who came to him for help, had no toes, and none of the men had any fingers. His mother wanted her 2 children to come into the house while these men were present, but her young 7-year-old son disobeyed her because he was so curious about what was happening. His father told the men that there was not too much that he could do for them, but he would do what he could do. And he washed their injuries. After putting on surgical gloves, he washed their injuries and applied ointment and bandaged the 3 men. So this was the young Paul Brand's first experience with leprosy. And like I mentioned, he later determined the injury theory, where the repeated injury is what eventually caused people to lose various parts of their body or even their life. We now know that only about 5% of the population of the world can actually be infected by leprosy because of its genetic attribute. But they didn't know that back at that time, and there was no cure back at that time or no way to even treated at all back at that time. So it was a very dangerous disease back in the first century in Judea. As we've noted, 10 men were cured of leprosy. Jesus sent them back to the priests, and on their way back to the priests is when they were actually cured. They were not cured immediately. They actually were cured as they traveled back to show the priests the fact that they had been cured. And then only one of the 10 men returned to Jesus and thanked him for being cured. Even though they had this terrible, terrible disease, only one of them thought to return and show their gratitude. So gratitude, being thankful, is very important, but it's also somewhat rare. Giving thanksgiving to God for our blessings is very important, but do I make it an important part of my life? All the passages we're going to be looking at are in the New Testament, but it's also a very important thing in the Old Testament, too. Let me just give you one example. This is from Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Here, the author of this psalm says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." So here we have an example from the Old Testament, and there are many, many others of where people are called on to be thankful to God for the many blessings that God gives them. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul here is reminding the people at Ephesus that they live in an evil world. He encourages us to rescue as much time as we can from this evil world to use to glorify him and to live a righteous life. He encourages us to live like wise men, to not get drunk with alcohol or other substances, but to be filled with the Spirit. The first century church we see here was a singing church. They sang from their heart as a group. They sang psalms, they sang hymns, and they sang spiritual songs because they were thankful to God for his many blessings. Paul encourages us to give thanks to God for all the things at all times. We are to be thankful because we know we are in the hands of God every moment of our lives. The members of the church, he also says, should be thankful for each other. And the members of the church should support each other because of our fellowship in Christ. Another place where the Apostle Paul talks about being thankful is in Psalm chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The first century Christians had a difficult society in which to live. And Christians at all times have things that they need to worry about. It is normal for us to worry, although not excessively. Paul states that we can take everything to God in prayer. No matter what the problem, we can take that problem to God. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for forgiveness for our actions in the past. We can pray for things that we need in the present. And we can pray for help and guidance in the future. We can pray for others. We can ask God to help and care for others. Paul indicates that thanksgiving is a critical part of prayer. Our lives are filled with blessings from God. There are so many that they are impossible to count. In fact, prayer itself is a great blessing all by itself. Paul says we should give thanks in everything. I must have gratitude to God. When I am fully convinced that God is working all things together for good, then I can really have complete gratitude for God. I thank God because He loves me. He always wants what is best for me. I am thankful to God because of God's wisdom. He always knows what is best for me. I'm thankful to God because of God's power. His great power brings about what is best for me in my life. The result of thankful prayer is obtaining the peace of God, which is beyond all human understanding. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 7, Paul once again talks about being thankful. He lists here characteristics of the church. He says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So Paul describes the characteristics of a faithful group of Christians here. They're united together in love. Or as the English Standard Version says, knit together in love. They make the right decisions in every situation. They're equipped with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The group is able to resist false teaching. It has order and firmness. It holds fast the faith it has received. And finally, Paul says, it is overflowing, it's abounding in thanksgiving. It has thanksgiving, it has gratitude. So it has all these things, together in love, right decisions, equipped with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, resist false teaching, has order and firmness, holds fast the faith. And finally, it is overflowing, it's abounding in gratitude and thanksgiving. The Christian tells in words and shows in his life his gratitude, his thanksgiving for all that God has done for him. All our blessings flow from God, and we praise him for all these blessings which God has given each one of us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7, Paul once again talks about the importance of thanksgiving. This time it's near the beginning. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Father, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling you the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The Apostle Paul here urges us to pray for everyone. Pray for the political leaders of this world. Pray for all who are in authority. Also, he says we are to be thankful. Our prayers are not only just to ask for things. Our prayers should also be to thank God for our many, many blessings. We should always be thankful to God for our blessings. We give these prayers partly so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, also godly and dignified in every way. These words, God, I merely decided not to talk about this in detail, but these words, godly and dignified, are fascinating words, particularly the word dignified, but the word godly also. They have very deep meanings, but that's for another time. We realize that all of life is an act of worship to God. All of life is lived in the presence of God, always remembering the presence of God. These qualities are a very high standard, a high standard which each of us struggles to achieve with the help of God. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul once again talks about the importance of being thankful, but in the other way around. Rather than commanding Christians to be thankful, he describes how people who have totally turned against God, how they are the opposite. They are ungrateful. Let's read this passage, 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. He describes people who have turned against God. He says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people." Notice in verse 2, ungrateful. The opposite of being thankful, the opposite of being grateful is being ungrateful or being thankless. They are people who do not recognize the debt that they owe to God. And in most cases, they don't recognize the debt that they owe to other people either. Because not only are we all in debt to God, but each one of us is in debt to many, many other people who give us blessings and help us in so many different ways. Being thankless and ungrateful is the blindest of all sins, because our blessings are so obvious, both from God and from others, that being ungrateful and being thankless is in a way almost like being blind. On the other hand, it is the sign of an honest person that he pays his debts. For every person, there are debts to God and debts to other people. And if one is a follower of God, if one is a Christian, then we recognize these debts. We see them. We're not blind to them. And therefore, we're grateful, we're thankful to God for all the blessings that he gives us, and we're grateful and thankful for all the blessings that we receive from other people as well. I need to be thankful for all these many, many blessings that I receive. Now, let's look at Hebrews. We were talking about that earlier this morning in the class. Now let's talk a little bit more about Hebrews, except we'll go into Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 9, and go through verse 16. The author of Hebrews says, "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So the author of Hebrews is talking about how Jesus has become our sacrifice, and that in response to that, that we should continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So this is yet another way of saying we should be thankful to God. And by in this case, the author is saying we should praise God. Christians are to give a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude for God. Thankfulness to God is an unconditional offering of a grateful heart. A sacrifice of gratitude to God is an offering that everyone can give. So Christ sacrificed himself for us, and now we give him back a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. So while his sacrifice to us is much, much, much greater, infinitely greater than our sacrifice back to him, we can give him back the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all that he does for us, both in the past and in the present and in the future, what he will do for us in the future. So I should strive to be continually thankful for all the blessings that God and Jesus Christ have given me in the past and in the present, and I know that each that I will receive in the future. God wants to be involved in every person's life, and God forces himself on no one. He wants each of us to have the freedom to choose to respond or not to respond. And so now we're going to give the opportunity for anyone who'd like to respond to this message, the opportunity to respond at this time. If there's anything that you'd like to bring to the group, please do so as we sing this final song.